Hello, this is Patricia Clayson, moderator for this Pearls of Wisdom Summit call. For nearly 40 years, I've traveled across the continent doing speeches, workshops, and media appearances as a professional speaker, trainer, consultant, writer, and coach. I'm the co-author of Speaking of Success with Jack Canfield and Stephen Covey, and the author of Claim Your Unlimited Potential, a 12 workbook series on manifesting your greatest life. The cornerstone of all of my work is emotional intelligence and a weekend program called Taking It Lightly that has been offered through the Center for Creative Learning for almost 30 years. You can learn more about Taking It Lightly at lightly.com and more about my personal work at patriciaclayson.com. My mother would tell you that I started my speaking career at age 5 and haven't stopped talking since. However, tonight, I'm honored to give three other brilliant women a chance to do all of the talking. Now, on to the stars of tonight's call. Telly Sutliff is a psychic medium in private practice for over 12 years. She consults for readings and works on missing person cases for individual families and with the Boston University Cold Case Collective. Telly is a contributing author to Pearls of Wisdom and sole author of Listen Up, The Other Side is Talking, which will be available in summer 2012. Look for her new radio program on Psychic Cup of Coffee with Kelly Sutliff on CBS Radio, broadcast on the New Sky Radio in Boston, Detroit, Pittsburgh, Seattle, as well as internet programming on Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, started this month, March 2012. You can find Kelly at psychicmediumreads.com. Our next guest is Liz Byrne, a creative and innovative leader with a broad array of experience as an author, speaker, and entrepreneur. Her goal is to educate, motivate, and inspire others so they can reach their highest potential and dreams. You can find Liz on the web at www.liz.com/pearls_intro_2to_me. And then our third guest is Sheila Pearl. At 70 years young and just beginning her eighth career as an author and thought leader, Sheila Pearl is in demand as a keynote speaker, seminar leader, and life coach. With a private practice in coaching for over 15 years, she is also a retired cantor and educator, having served Jewish congregations in New Jersey and New York as a spiritual leader for over 20 years. Sheila is the author of several books, Still Life, a spiritual handbook for family caregivers, Looking for the Gift, Turning Adversity into Blessings, with a foreword by Neil Donald Walsh, and Ageless and Sexy, Pioneering Uncharted Territory for Life After 50. She is also the co-author of Wake Up Women, a guidebook, and The Winning Connection, a networker's guidebook with a foreword by Bob Proctor. You'll find Sheila on the web at SheilaPearl.com. Welcome, brilliant women.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. So the focus of tonight's call is power of the present moment. And the first question on my mind is, what does it mean to be in the power of the present moment? Kelly, what are your thoughts about that? How would you explain that?
You know what? When I think of that question, one thing that relates to this is actually is being present in the moment is basically being grounded, connecting spiritually, mentally, physically with your body, honoring what you're doing at that present moment. Honor is a big word. We forget to honor ourselves. And, you know, it's so important, like when you're in that space and when you're in your present moment, is, you know, say the words like, yes, I can, when the world kind of says, are you kidding me? So it's speaking your true personality, who you are, what you're about, what you believe in, your faith, what your career is, your honor, all of that. And I think, you know what, if people live by that and remember that, you know what, yes, I can, you know, that kind of thing, I think, you know what, people will be more respectful of one another.
Okay,
and I think that's really how flow happens for people.
So the present moment is about honoring yourself, saying, yes, I can, and being in the flow of the moment.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Thanks, Kelly. Liz, your thoughts, because we all have different perspectives on these kinds of things. How do you see power of the present moment?
Yes, I agree with everything that Kelly just said, and we'll just add to it. I find that for myself, and I've learned from this, and it's what I teach others to do, is that we tend to go into the past and what we've learned, what we've been told to do, what the ways that we've been taught to behave, respond, and react. And I think if you're in the present moment and aware of what's occurring around you, and if you think for yourself instead of reacting to what's going on around you, if something happens and you feel yourself going into a place where you don't want to go, where you feel poorly or negatively, I don't really like to label things negative, but if you feel yourself going someplace that doesn't ring true to you, to be aware in the moment that you have choice of what you want to be in that moment and where you want to move into, how you want to feel as you move into the next moment, and not just react, but think for yourself and feel and be aware and then move forward from that place of being.
So being in the present moment is, instead of just being reactive automatically to something, it's taking the awareness, being aware and thinking about what you're seeing, what you're experiencing, being aware of what's around you?
Well, yes, and being conscious, taking conscious control of your thoughts and what's going on, instead of doing perhaps what you've been conditioned to do or what you think you're supposed to do or what others are suggesting that you do, but taking ownership of yourself and how you want to be and react in that moment consciously.
Conscious choice.
Yes, yes. Thank you.
Okay. Just summarizing your words, Liz, you said it very well. Sheila, how about you? What's the power of the present moment for you?
Well, I love everything that both Kelly and Liz had to say, and I'd like to kind of piggyback on what they've said and to echo in just a slightly different dimension and to mention that to me, being fully present, or the power of being present, is to be open on all burners. In other words, to be fully sensual, meaning to be in tune with all of our five senses, and the sixth sense, which is our intuitive imagination, and the seventh sense, which is only activated when all the other six are open, and that is our sensitivity and ability of allowing ourselves to receive through all the channels that we have opened with all the other senses. So it's like a seven-pronged approach to being receptive, to being awake, to being the observer of yourself. So you're observing not just your thoughts, but your body, your intuition, and you're just keeping all the channels open. And it's an ongoing process. It doesn't happen and then you achieve it and then you can rest. It's stepping into each moment by tuning into all those channels and just being open on every single burner, as I say.
You know, that sounds wonderful, and it also sounds like a little bit of work to have to do that every moment.
It's practice. Like they say, you don't get to Carnegie Hall without practice. So it is, you know, so it's a process. So it's not work after you've practiced it, as the meditation practice is called a practice, because it doesn't happen that easily. A lot of people, as Liz talks about in her wonderful chapter, a lot of people have trouble meditating. So it's a matter of practicing and work is a perception, I guess. So, you know, it's a wonderful work. It's a wonderful practice.
Okay. Thank you, Sheila. So when I think of pearls, I think of oysters, and I think of every pearl as starting with a grain of sand. that there's something that irritates the oyster, and out of that comes this wonderful, beautiful pearl. What was your grain of sand or the experience that became your pearl of wisdom, Liz?
Well, I had had a very good meditative practice for a couple of years, and I was at a point in my life this past spring, early summer, where a couple of things were niggling at my brain, shall we say. I had a personal life situation that had the potential to change things in my life greatly. I was self-publishing my first book at the time, which was something I had never done before. So I was very busy, and my brain was rattled. And the grain of sand was the stuff that was going on in my brain. And I was not meditating. I was not sitting down and doing it. And one night I was lying in bed, and a thought came to me, and I jotted it down on the piece of paper next to my bed, and the thought was, just sit down. And I wrote it down, and the next day got my daughter up to school, and I remembered it, and I looked at it, and I sat down to meditate. And what my chapter is about is something that I call a pre-meditation routine, which is I have a certain setup for meditation. I have a certain space in my home. I have certain decorations and things in that area. And I have a certain physical routine that I go through of stretching to release tension from the body, breathing to center my breath, and then balancing and relaxing my body and my chakras. And I have this process that I do. And I realized that by having that process, I could sit down. I think some people think of meditation and they think, oh, I have to sit for 45 minutes. I have to sit for an hour. It's this big routine. Where do I begin? How do I do it? Do I listen to music? Do I do it silently? Do I sit down? Do I lie down? Do I, you know, you can get all caught up in ways to meditate, right? But I had this very specific way of moving into meditation. It's simple. It's 5, 6, 7 minutes long. And at the end of it, I'm calm and centered and present. So this grains of sand, that were kind of going on and distracting me on a regular basis actually caused me to realize the pearl that I had was the gift of my own routine and what I knew to do to center myself so I could actually sit and enter into the meditative process. And that's what my chapter is about.
So that little irritation has become a wonderful gift that you can share with others.
Absolutely.
That's great. I know that it's hard for me to meditate sometimes, so I'm going to make sure that I pay attention to those words of wisdom. Thank you.
Yeah, okay.
So, Sheila, how about for you? What was the grain of sand, the experience that became your pearl?
Well, I would have to say it's been a number of grains of sand, just
okay.
As you alluded to, yes. And perhaps I have a string of pearls around my neck, which I wear proudly, recognizing early on that with each bump along the road, with each loss, I won't go into details because the story that I tell in my chapter is one of the more recent grains of sand, which was a very challenging illness that I lived through as I nursed my husband through his illness, and he passed a few years ago. But that was the culmination of, I would say, a major grain of sand, a major irritation that would come into my life with a loss, a challenge, a difficulty, maybe every 5 or 10 years of my life. And I began to see a pattern that rather than try to avoid these or to demonize them or to say, Why is all this happening? Why can't I have things easy? And why does it have to be such a pain? Why does it have to, I began to realize that there was a benefit for me to be present to whatever it was and to look for the gift in that. So by the time I got to the great challenge of my husband's illness and the impact on our lives, I must admit I became kind of a disappearing act sometimes. I would try to avoid, I would run away, and reminding myself that every time I run away, I'm losing the benefit of the challenge. And so I reminded myself to get quiet, to listen, to tune into all those parts of myself I alluded to before, all those parts of myself that had begun to shut down, all those parts of myself that I was trying to pretend didn't feel anything, and to allow myself to feel whatever I was feeling, to practice all of the techniques I'd learned along the way, and to ask myself, what is the gift here? And as I got quiet and as I listened to my body, to my mind, to my intuition, as I began to notice the synchronicities happening everywhere around me, I began to see that there were gifts that I would never have imagined had I not allowed myself to ask that question. And so part of my practice, part of the things I write about and teach about, is to assist others to really face whatever it is, as it was with me, that's causing that irritation, that's causing that pain, that's causing that rub, and to ask the question, where is the gift in this? Because if I can face it, then I can learn, I can grow. If I try to run away from it, I'm losing out on the gift. And so that's the best way I can say. So this string of pearls around my neck I wear with great joy and gratitude.
Thank you, Sheila. So seeing adversity as a gift. There's something to learn, something to grow from. Kelly, how about for you? What was your grain of sand?
You know, actually, you know what? Really, my grain of sand, it's kind of two-part here. My grain of sand was basically, for years I put off my mediumship. I put off people knowing my work, who I was, what I really knew. As a young girl, when I would have these experiences, it was just my world, but not really, you know, it was always in the sense that, you know what, you just didn't share that kind of stuff, and you just kind of, this was your world, but it was your world, nobody else's world. And, you know, my grain of sand was really a part of when, you know, I had 3 kids in 3 years.
Oh,
and
my.
One day, yes, well, I know, Irish twins, my girls are Irish twins, 11 months apart. So one day in my kitchen making Similac formula, I finally decided to say, okay, I'm ready to do this work. So denying my gift was basically my sand, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And finally when I opened up, and when I did open up and said that out loud, you know, I had spirits in my house. I was crossing people over at night. I had babies I was feeding. I had a 3-year-old, a husband that traveled, like, 2 weeks out of the month. You know, I was just crazy world, crazy. So I ended up, like, just diving into development and figuring who I was and what I was all about. So that's what I started, who I was 12 years ago, finally accepting who I am. Because, you know, you're born psychic, you have these gifts, my work, what I do. But what's transformed and which is good is that through my work, I've always taught people how to ground. And whenever I start a reading, whenever I work, I do this grounding exercise. And I show people how to ground themselves, the importance of being present, connecting spiritually, mentally, physically with your body, you know, taking time for yourself in the morning to ground yourself so that the good can come in. It's that simple. So that you can be in the I am present, attract it all, let it come into you. So the pearl to this book is basically me being able to share what I've shown for everybody that I've read for in the last 12 years, how to do this. And the beauty of it is it shared, obviously, in this wonderful book with everybody. But on top of that, people are going to be able to do it very quickly. My chapter in the book is called Your Daily Cup of Calm. And I show people how to do this, how quick it is. In the morning, you know, we make our cup of coffee in the morning. First thing we want to do is get out of bed, get to Java, right? And as we do that, we need to switch a little bit. Sure, make the coffee, but while the coffee is being made, take your 3 minutes, to ground yourself, to plant yourself, to create your intentions, to say, I am closing that business deal. I am cured of cancer. I am patient with my children. I am attracting all this goodness for the highest and best good of myself, my family. So that's creating your own pearl every day. So if it weren't for me, thank goodness in the sense that I finally accepted who I was and not deny, mm-hmm. you know, all the works that I was happening with me. Mm-hmm. You know what? And I'm very thankful and appreciative and humbled that, you know what, where it's taken me. So where I look right now, of all the pearls I have in my life, obviously my three pearls, my three kids who are teenagers now, my husband, my family.
It's
all come. Yeah, for sure. And you know what? We've also, it's been a beautiful thing. So, but it's also too, like we talked earlier, it's about attracting the present to you, not saying, I hope something happens. I want this to happen. I hope this happens. Making it happen right now. And you can do that if you grab your cup of coffee, you know, your psychic cup of coffee every day, your daily cup of calm.
Kelly, there's a word that you used multiple times, and I'm wondering if there's another way you might describe something for me. You use the term grounded, and I have an idea what that means from the work that I do, but I don't know that most people listening to this call would necessarily understand what grounded would mean in the context you were using it. Are there some other words that you might use that would help us to understand that concept?
You know, grounded is a term that, you know, you use when you, grounding can be as simple as breathing, okay, or as simple as just planting yourself every day and saying, you know what, I am present. It goes along with meditation. Saying your prayers, meditating, that's all grounding. So when you state your intentions for your day, when you pray for something, when you meditate, that's all a form of grounding. Where I take it different, my concept of grounding is that you're going to pull all this great energy into you, you know, from the top of your head all the way down to your toes. And when you ground, you're going to ground into Mother Earth, and she's going to hold on to you like a tree trunk.
Okay.
And when you do that, you're present. You're present. Gotcha. So you're all one vehicle of strong, present person. And you're able to create the intentions that you want for your day to come towards you. And you're protected, you know, spiritually. You're protected by your energy. You're also, you know, present in the moment so that all that can come, you know, and say, okay, you're deserving. It's coming towards you.
Thanks, Kelly.
Did that help
really
you?
Helped. The metaphor of the tree really helped a lot.
Okay,
to get that, you know, that roots grounded.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So that's what you do to help yourself stay present. Your morning cup of calm, or I imagine almost any time cup of calm.
Yes.
And grounding yourself.
Perfect. Yes.
Sheila, what do you do to help yourself stay in the moment, in the present?
I remind myself to just look at what's right in front of my face, to pay close attention to the person that I'm having a conversation with, to pay attention to what my body may be saying to me, to pay attention to something that may be irritating me, and to be willing to listen, but to just be willing to stay open and to listen, and to not allow my mind to go to the past or to go to the future, to have that conscious intention to be right here, right now. Because I've learned over the years that, you know, the only thing that's really real is right now. And so I just remind myself to just be right here now. And that's the only reality that in which I can feel kind of neutral. And by the way, if I'm feeling irritated, if I'm feeling nervous, I remind myself that that must have something to do with my being out of the present moment. So it's also almost like a Geiger counter. And So it's like I'm just constantly moving myself to that central point.
That's great. So now we have this criteria that helps us figure out if we're in the now or not. That anxiety, fear, that's usually about projecting something into the future. So that lets us know we've moved out of the now.
Exactly.
Okay. You know, I, being a child of the 60s, I am seeing the cover of Ram Dass's book, Be Here Now, right in front of my face right now, as you talk about that. Dates me just a little bit. Kelly, you gave us a good idea about your morning cup of calm. Liz, what about you? What do you do to personally stay in the present moment?
Well, meditation is one. And that's just a routine in my day to calm and center and be with myself. But I also what Sheila just said about the past and the future, you know, we can learn from the past, but if you dwell in the past, you're not living in the present. And if you're worried about what you did yesterday or about what somebody said yesterday, you're not living in the present. And if you're feeling stress or anxiety about something that might happen, then you're in the future. So to be in the present, those feelings of anger and stress and anxiety that may arise means you're not in your current place. So that awareness of your emotions and your feelings is so important, because by when you feel something like that come upon you, if you can just stop right at that moment and say, why am I feeling this way? What is going on around me at exactly this moment that's causing me to feel something that I don't want to feel? Stress, anxiety, loneliness, apprehension, depression, you know, whatever that is, if you really stop and look at where you are, what's going on around you, what's real, what's not, that stop mechanism is something that I think can help people to be here now, as you just said. Be here now and think about, and I do this, what's going on in my brain when I find myself outside of myself, in a way, outside of my mind, and where would I rather be, and what is going on right now? What can I affect in this moment or not? And to understand the difference of the past being the past and the future being something that you don't know. I have a phrase that I like to say, and I say, what is, what is next is up to you. So if there's something going on around you, it just is. How you move forward in your life, how you are in that moment, is your choice. Again, conscious choice, as you so aptly quoted me earlier. That's in that moment of deciding not to look at anything else except where you are right now.
So do a focus check, a reality check, accept what is, and choose what you want to do next.
Absolutely. Choose.
Okay.
It's your choice. Yeah. In every moment.
Great. Thank you. We've already gotten a tremendous amount of wisdom, and we're only halfway through the show. So you are a new voice in the area of inspirational or transformational leadership. When you were talking, Liz, earlier, you talked about your brain being a bit rattled and then choosing to create some kind of a ritual that would help you prepare for meditating, and that alone was helpful to you in that process. How did that take you to the path of being a leader and sharing this with other people? Anything
special
take you there?
The path that brought me to where I am today was actually getting laid off from my job 3 years ago. I had been in the financial services industry for 24 years, which was a long time. And I don't know if you all remember 3-4 years ago when the financial markets were collapsing and real estate was collapsing and everything was really going down whatever.
Mm-hmm. And, I think we all remember, yes.
We all remember. So, and I was in that industry, so we had been experiencing the downturn almost before anybody else was, and my company was, we were about to have our third round of layoffs, and it was going to be my turn. And my job, my whole department, and people that worked for me, all the jobs were getting eliminated. And, you know, initially I went into everything I just talked about. You know, I was fearful, and I was having stress, and I was anxious, and I was angry about the situation. And as I started to think about what I was going to do going forward, I realized that I had really been unhappy for quite some time. And it was an incredibly stressful environment with very long hours and a lot of travel. And I was then and am now a single parent. And once I stepped out of it a little bit, and when I stepped into the present moment a few years ago, when I started to realize that I could do that, I saw that it was an opportunity for me. It was not something to be stressed or fearful or anxious about. And that wasn't easy because everybody around you was saying, you know, Chicken Little, oh my gosh, the sky is falling. What are you going to do? Getting laid off and the changes. And when I grasped it as an opportunity to do something different because I realized I had not been happy, that was the impetus for me to move into something different. And I took the opportunity, I spent a lot of time being present, quiet. It took me a long time to, as I say, stop. Because I had been on that treadmill for so long, just stop. But I took the time, and I discovered who I was and who I wanted to be going forward. And I discovered, as I like to say, that I wanted to be helpful and creative and happy in all of my endeavors. And I started operating from happy, helpful, and creative. I just kind of woke up every day and I put that on, and I started to follow the breadcrumbs, as I call them, that showed up in my life. Mm-hmm. And I hooked up with a group of storytellers who were doing events to raise money to feed the hungry, very creative work, very helpful work. And I just started moving forward in this happy, helpful, and creative being that I realized that I was my true nature deep down inside. And it's led me to creating events and writing books and starting to speak in public and doing some coaching and some training and educational series. And it's all just brought me to where I am today. It's a different path, but oddly integrated with things that I've done in the past of a creative, innovative nature of things that I had done in my corporate business life. And it's just parlayed into this new role for me. And it's wonderful. And it came out of, Patricia, it came out of being present and saying, you know, this doesn't have to be a terrible situation.
Mm-hmm.
The past would tell you this is bad. And I decided it wasn't. I decided it was good.
So you took something that could have... Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I'm
spoke over you for a moment.
That's okay.
So you took an adversity, this idea of possibly being laid off and the economic crisis, and you turned it into an amazing, life-changing, wonderful gift of a new path.
Absolutely.
How about
yeah.
you, Sheila? How did you do that? What was it for you that brought you to where you are now?
Well, the word voice is many layered for me. I have been a singer all my life. I literally began as a singer at the age of 5. My parents were singers. So voice and music were kind of the core of who I was as I was growing up. And I had a sense of myself through the use of my voice and through music. And I love the idea of what Debussy says about music. He says, actually, music is the space between the notes.
Mm.
And I love that idea because it's about what we do with the silence and that's really the defining element of all of life. And so from a very early point, I studied piano as well, and so, you know, I studied the classics, and so I was kind of grounded, as it were, using Kelly's image here of the grounding. The roots of who I am are deep in the earth in terms of music, and what makes music is that international language that connects us all. And so, you know, that metaphor of music carries through to this moment. I still sing, by the way, but it's about being so fully present in the moment. I remember the times that I was most nervous about going out and singing or auditioning, and it was at those times that I was concerned about the outcome. And my mind would wander to what would the review be? What would their reaction be? And my coaches reminded me, stay in the center of the moment of the music that you're singing, in the middle of the sound, in the middle of the word itself. And that taught me about being fully present in the moment that you're creating with that sound and the silence between the notes. And I take that training and that experience into the work I do with my clients when I'm speaking on the stage, and now the voice of the writer. And I'm applying that. I'm learning. I feel like I'm a baby learning how to write effectively, how to find my voice in expressing myself at this point in my life as well, to be present to the message. And to be willing to shift and to integrate all of the skills, all of the experience, and to bring that to the forefront of what it is I have to offer at this moment, recognizing that my job is to connect those pearls of wisdom, to connect those dots as I'm listening to the person I'm having the conversation with, to help them see more clearly so that I become that listening presence for them. And in that, I'm stretching myself, and in that, I'm giving them that clear mirror that they need to be able to see themselves. So it's been a process. So how did I get to this point? By following my passion, by being willing to shift, by being willing to step into the next moment of what was inviting me in my life, to be willing to use those pearls, those moments of irritation, those challenges, to use them to move me forward and to stretch me, and to also use that in the service of others. Does that make
any
sense?
That's amazing. Yes, thank you. I love the idea of the space between the notes. I mean, that just carries over into so many things. But I want to make sure I ask Kelly the question also. Kelly, please tell us a little bit about how you came to be on the path.
You know what I would just like to say is that, you know what, for years, like I said, I denied my psychic ability. I denied my work. And like I said before, you know, 12, 13 years ago, that's when I finally decided, okay, I'm ready to do me. And you know what? It's pretty amazing when you say, I'm ready to do me. Because when you say that, then all of a sudden, you know, your guides get excited. You get excited. You got this fire burning in you. You know what I mean? People are connecting to you. Your paths are opening up. You're meeting people. You're doing, you know, all these bits are coming towards you. And when you start to do that, it just unfolds. But you know what? Things happen very quickly. And when they happen quickly, you know what? They're meant to happen quickly. And as much as they can be chaotic and crazy, when, you know, you're following your passion and your guts of what you're supposed to do, whether you're an accountant or whether you're, you know, in, you know, PR, or you're a psychic, or, you know, what have you. You know what? It gives you that opportunity. But within it, seeing all that opportunity, I was always like, okay, I want to do this, hurry, hurry. But then, okay, I got these three little babies to raise, you know. Of course I'll be the PTO, you know, president. Of course I'll do this, you know, throw myself in my community, different things like that. But you know what? You have to learn to be flexible. And when you have the flexibility, you know what? You can, you know, you access your strengths pretty strongly. And, you know, I had to do kind of accept, you know, this stop-start kind of world of mine you know, because I had a family to raise and everything else, like everybody else, no different than anybody else. But in the same sense with this is that, you know what, I was given such opportunity to be trained by people who were wonderful mediums from England and Scotland and Ireland, and I really wanted to dive in this psychic thing the right way. And I wanted to be grounded, obviously, as we talked before. But I really wanted to understand boundaries with this work. And with that, you have to have boundaries as a psychic medium. And you know what? I'm always on the forefront. And when I think about, you know, being inspirational leadership with my work, I'm always making sure that in my field, because it can be very, you know, quackery, people will look at it like that sometimes, or those non-believers mm-hmm. or whatever you want to say. But I'm always on the defense because I'm always trying to say, you know what, this is real. It happens to everybody. Everybody has an experience. You know, I'm able to read for people or do a private investigation or find a missing person because the energy is coming in from a high vibration. Basically, this huge love vibration is where the energy and the information comes from. Mm-hmm. So I find that part of my path and my inspirational leadership when I've taught classes, when I've been in front of people talking about this subject in general, you know what? It's making it real. And I think because I do that in my engagements, that, you know what, it's my gift to give to others in doing that. So I know it's right because I'm passionate about it. And I know it works because I connect when I've been asked to find a missing person and I tell them where they're going to find her or him. So I know I'm getting that information properly. And I also know when I read for someone that, you know, the inspiration that comes through, that it's able to, I do it and people will leave. And I did this reading for this woman last week and she was a wonderful person. And she said, left the reading and she said, Kelly, I've never said this to someone before. And she goes, and I've come for many readings, but she goes, I left here enlightened. Oh my God, that was like getting the Academy Award.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? When someone says that to you, you can't, it's just beautiful.
Yeah.
Because I feel that's what the energy is, and that's what everyone has access to, you know what I mean? But the main thing about, you know, being an inspirational leader in my world, you know, being a psychic medium, is making people understand that it is real. And I think that's what burns in my belly to make that all happen. And that's why, you know, being a part of this book, you know what I mean, to explain, you know, my work and what has happened with the Pearls of Wisdom. And being with all these authors, with everybody, that it gives more, I keep using the word grounding tonight, but it gives more presence is really what the word I want to say to people in my field who do it the right way.
I have often heard when people say the word psychic or the word medium that it can be scary for a lot of people, and I think
right.
You know, you did say that there are some folks out there who use the word quackery,
mm-hmm.
and I really appreciate hearing from you that there's a place that you go to let people know that, you know, there is a reality to this and that it's not some, I'll just call it weirdness for want of a better word at the moment.
Oh, no, you can say weirdness because, you know what, that's what people, you know, anything you go against anyone's religion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or a grain with that or in that forefront. You know what I mean? People are going to think it's weird or they're going to try and dismiss it or what have
mm-hmm.
you. But you know what? I'll bet you $100 that, you know what, if their mother passed away, mom came back to them in a dream where they had an experience because our loved ones always want to come back and let everybody know they're okay. And so you know what? Everybody has experiences. Everybody senses it, feels it. Some people choose to accept it or not. But I think we're in such a great pace and strength of the energy that's out right now, especially for 2012 and what's happening with all this change, that everybody's ramping up. Everyone's getting amped up really high. And you know what? Everyone's consciousness is changing. So many people are expanding, you know, their belief in, you know, new age or psychic ability or trusting their hunches or learning how to do that. Mm-hmm. So you know what? That's the good thing. That's a great thing. Tell you what, 12 years ago, could I talk out in the open like this? Even 12 years ago, when I started opening up, you know, you guys remember the movie The Sixth Sense?
Yes.
That was just out.
Yeah.
And that
yeah.
freaked everybody out, right? And, you know, there was no shows like Medium. There was no shows, you know, with New Age, like, you know, programs like that. You know, now we have the Long Island mm-hmm. Medium. We have all these other people. So you know what? It's present. People are ready to hear. They're seeking. So that, in a good sense, is great. But on the other end, essence, you know what? I try to make people feel comfortable because it should be comfortable.
So would it be accurate to say, to summarize what you just said, in that things are happening very quickly now, there's a lot of new energy upon us, a lot of change happening in the world, and by connecting with our groundedness, what I'm hearing you say is that we all have the ability to find that connection, and in that connection to listen.
Correct. That's
for
the main thing.
Our next step.
Yes, and people have to listen and be quiet within themselves to hear it. We're so busy all the time, right? Nobody takes time just to take a few minutes to themselves or just sit
mm-hmm.
quiet. And if you just sit down, like, you know, Liz was saying, you know, her message that she got, you know, if you just sit and be quiet or pay attention, like I always say to, you know, the universe uses signs and symbols all the time to us, all right? That's a form of energy that is used from the other side, is signs and symbols. So, you know what? If you are in a, you know, if, you know, for instance, if you're thinking about your mom all day and your mom's in spirit, and hypothetically, I'm just an example, like she, you know, she wore pearls her whole life. She always had a strand of pearls, you know, around her neck. And you go out shopping, and all of a sudden you see all these pearls in one counter, and then you go to the next door, and that jumps out at you, or it could be the word pearl in a phrase. You know, that's connection
to
your mom.
It should be listening to Sheila talk.
Exactly, same thing. You know what I mean? It's like, you know what? It's just, that's, you know, it's paying attention, and
mm-hmm.
that's kind of like what my book about is that's going to come out in the summer, is everybody to tune in a little bit to pay attention to those sign symbols or what have you. About what that's all, you know, about, because that's confirmation from the other side, and even just in presence when it, that you need, so that people, so you feel present, that you know that your loved ones are around you. Obviously coming from the psychic medium perspective. But that's
mm-hmm.
also too, is our guides do that also. You know, I always call it like kind of the purple dinosaur theory, that, you know what, ask your guides, say, you know what, if I'm meant to do this, or let's say if you're moving across the country to another job, if I'm really meant to take this job, I want to see, you know, a purple dinosaur today. All right, say it out loud. Say, that's my sign. Guides, give me a sign. This is my sign today. This is what it is. You will see 10 Barneys. You will see, you know what I mean? You will see the tent, you know what I mean? You will see, you know, he'll be in, you'll just see it. So it's paying attention to that and putting that all together so that, you know what, you can get confirmation. That's what we call when we work as a medium, we call that would be evidence. Well,
okay.
You know, we as individuals can get evidence every day with all of this, especially with this fast energy that's happening. Do you guys agree?
Do you all agree?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hearing a constant theme throughout all the things we've talked about this evening, that being in the present moment, there's three B's that go with being in the present moment that I heard from you tonight. Be still, be in the silence, and be me.
Mm-hmm.
Right on.
Mm-hmm. So we have to start closing this up because we don't have a whole lot of time left. And I want to make sure that I mentioned that the Pearls of Wisdom book is available at barnesandnoble.com and at amazon.com, and that there are free gifts that are offered when people purchase the book. So if you go to Insight Events, plural, INSIGHT, EVENTS USA, InsightEventsUSA.com, pearlsofwisdomthebook. So that's insighteventsusa.com/pearlsofwisdomthebook. And you can order the book through that site going to either Amazon or Barnes & Noble and enter a special code that you'll receive and all kinds of wonderful free gifts, ebooks and meditations and MP3s of interviews and all kinds of other wonderful things that will expand your enlightenment beyond just the book if you order it in that way. You also might want to take an opportunity to go to the fan page for the Pearls of Wisdom book at Facebook, and that is simply www.facebook.com/pearlsofwisdombook, written as if it was all one word with no spaces on it. And that'll take you to the Facebook page, which is very nicely put together, and you'll learn more about the book and the different authors who are in the book. And many of the authors are doing book signings in bricks and mortar environments around the country. So do any of you have upcoming book signings right now that are scheduled that you'd like to let someone know about?
Yes, tomorrow night in Newburgh, New York. Liz will be with me. This is Sheila Pearl, and we're going to be joined by Stacy Lee Goforth, and we're going to be having a book signing even before the book officially comes out on April 1st, so we're excited.
How wonderful. Well, I hope you have a fantastic turnout. Let's see, if I get grounded and I focus on it and I intend it for you, that means it'll happen, right?
Right on.
Okay, I'll definitely hold that for you.
I have another event scheduled. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
There's one in Queens, New York, and at the Fresh Meadows Barnes & Noble on Saturday, April 28th at 1:30 in the afternoon. And Sheila will be with me, as will Stacy Lee Goforth, and also, I believe, Kim Burnham, be four authors at that event at Barnes & Noble's, April 28th, Fresh Meadows, Queens.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else?
And I'm in Massachusetts, so my locations for my book signings will be next week, and they will be Friday, April 6th, and that will be in Hingham, Massachusetts, and the next day on that Saturday will be one in Manchester, New Hampshire. So those two will be in the late afternoons between 3 and 5.
That's fantastic. So I hope that you all will post those on the Facebook fan page so that people can go get more data about that if they want and reminders about it. And mm-hmm. I'm sure that there are other book signings around the country for many of the other fantastic 30 authors who are a part of the Pearls of Wisdom book. We have a little bit over 5 minutes left of our call, so I'm going to put each of you on the spot just a little bit. If you could summarize your message to help us live our best lives right now, what is the one thing you'd really like to say in closing as your gift to us, your pearl to us? Liz?
I would say that you can be who you are and think for yourself and choose how you want to feel, not react or be what you think you're supposed to be or what you think others say you're supposed to be or what you've been in your past. That you can choose what is next in your life by being present and knowing how you feel and making a conscious decision to move forward in your life in your true being.
Very succinctly said and clear. Be who you are. Choose.
Mm-hmm. Choose. Wow. Make the choice. Yes.
Okay. Thanks, Liz. Sheila?
I would say that whatever is going on in your life at the present moment, whatever your circumstances are, is absolutely perfect. And if you can be present to that, and be with it, embrace it, ask yourself, what is the gift in this? That will be the blessing that you continue to give yourself and those around you. in using that situation that you have either consciously or unconsciously attracted and co-created for yourself to bring you to a new level of consciousness and being who you are. And so to bless and honor whatever it is that's in your life at the moment, and if it's really driving you crazy, say thank you.
That can be a tough one to do, Sheila, but it does make perfect sense.
Look at it all
and bless it and say thank you.
Yes, say thank you. And laugh. Be willing to laugh a lot.
Okay. Thank you, Sheila. And Kelly?
I would say, actually, I'm going to go back to say, to talk about when, you know, the most best thing that you can give to yourself every day is to connect spiritually, physically, mentally, by grabbing your daily cup of calm every day, taking 3 minutes to yourself to emphasize what you want to attract to yourself, and saying these words to yourself kindly in the I am present. So as you say to yourself every day, I am a good person. I am a person who is deserving for its highest and best good. I am achieving, you know, these goals. I am. When you start to switch and you say, I hope this happens, I think it's going to happen. When you do that, the universe doesn't get that language. They need to be very specific. They need to see it happening right now. They need it to be in the present. And as you do that, watch how things happen, come towards you. So, like, just hypothetically, like, I hated that they used the word hope for Haiti when all that trauma came down in Haiti. If they would have used just another term, look where Haiti is today, all the millions of dollars, the billion dollars have been given there. You know, hope to the universe is way out there. When you say in turn to your present moment and to what you want to happen right now, this instant, I want to be in this new job by June 2nd. I want this, 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 and this, and this. You know what? The universe will give you the foundation to be able to do that. You can attain that just simply by meditating, grounding, implementing that, and watch how the change can happen. And it's about taking charge of you. And you know, when, like I said before, you know what? When people say to you, you know what? You can't do this, or what have you, you know, or are you kidding me? You're going to do this. You know what? You say, you betcha I am. And you know what? It goes, those three little words go a long way.
Okay. Well, this has been a powerful evening for me. I thank the three of you for your wonderful wisdom and the elegant and eloquent way that you shared all of your wonderful thoughts with us tonight. And I look forward to getting to read the whole book as soon as it's out and available. This is Patricia Clayson, host of tonight's call, Power of the Present Moment. I invite you to visit www.lightly.com/faith for a free ebook and workbook called Faith's Journey, How One Woman Got Unstuck and Found Her Joy. It's a book that I co-authored with my partner, Jay Edgar. You can also learn more about Taking It Lightly, a weekend program for getting unstuck, at lightly.com, or visit patriciaclayson.com for more information on my books and seminars. I thank the three of you for the opportunity to have the honor to host this call, and I look forward to hearing more of the Pearls Summit calls. And speaking of that, the next call for those of you who are going through all of the calls in the process is Friday, tomorrow, March 30th at 11 a.m. Pacific time. That would be 1 p.m. Central, 2 p.m. Eastern, Living a Purpose-Driven Life, with authors Jacob Norby, Stacy Lee Goforth, Lisa Laban, and the moderator will be Dr. Robert Pease. So in closing, remember everyone, be still, be in the silence, and be yourself, be me. Thank you for being with us tonight on this Pearls of Wisdom Telesummit call.
Thank you, Patricia.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you all.